morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Lauren Landis, and the late Patty Fink is on her way. She's so late today, I had to call her. She didn't call me. Patty will be with us in just a minute.
Yep.
She got caught in traffic. Jim on his show was just talking about that shooting.
The massacre.
Yeah, in Connecticut. Well, I was wondering how long it was going to take before gay people got blamed for this, because it's all gay people's fault. Everything is.
Right.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, massacres, everything is our fault. Mm-hmm. So we were wondering how long, and who would be the first? Would it be Rush Limbaugh? Would it be, you know, who's going to be the crazy to say that this is our fault, as opposed to it being the fault of the person who did the shooting?
And who won?
So are you not on?
I'm not on.
Yeah, you are. Let say something again.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on.
All right.
So number one crazy person who decided that this is the fault of gay people is Brian Fisher, American Family Association. Congratulations, Brian,
there
for being the number one crazy in this massacre, this disgusting massacre. To blame gay people.
But you know what? He's kind of like the number one crazy of all of them.
He is.
But he's not. He's joined by Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee said the same thing.
Really? Yeah, he did. Yeah. And do you know why? Because we, you, Lauren, Patty, you, took God out of the public schools. Why did you do that, Patty? God was there. You walked in and you took him out.
I don't know.
I didn't know you had that kind of power.
She does. But Lauren,
I have the power to destroy civilization as we know it, mm-hmm. which is not ungodlike.
Right.
You know, I mean,
that is right.
Simply because I'm gay, I have this power.
Yeah,
so
I'm not making fun of this situation. I'm making fun of these idiots.
Yeah.
I just want that real clear. I'm making fun of these stupid, insulting idiots that, for whatever reason, media keeps giving attention to. When Brian Fisher made that statement, do you know what the general response should have been? You're an idiot. I'm not printing that.
Yeah.
I think he should have been condemned soundly by all media. If they're going to talk about him, do it
talk
in the context
about
him.
Exactly.
Condemning him.
Exactly. This was a massacre that was done by a person. We don't know anything about him yet.
So, according to the right wing, God intends pregnancy from rape.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In some circles, maybe intends rape,
mm-hmm.
in order to produce pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
and causes kindergartners to be shot to death,
mm-hmm.
mowed down with an, you know.
What kind of twisted, idiotic thinking? Now, here's what's behind it, of course. With the statement that President Obama made last night, or yesterday during the day, it made it sound like, gee, maybe we should do something about this. He didn't say what. He didn't say we're going to start controlling guns, because I'm not sure how you even start controlling the guns.
I'll tell you how. No civilian would be allowed to own an automatic weapon, a semi-automatic weapon, or a high-capacity clip, period.
Because there's no need for civilians to have that. Even police officers don't have those.
And especially the clips, that's just insane, because the only purpose is to mow down people.
Yeah.
That really is the only purpose. And if in the NRA or people who are all, Second Amendment, need to just use their own common sense. This is insane. You're just stupid and biased and bigoted about the Second Amendment when you can't even use common sense to say nobody needs a high capacity clip except to kill your fellow human beings. Mm-hmm. Period. That's it. Yeah,
I saw that. You know, I'm like speechless on this insulting distraction is what that is. Rather than focusing on there was something wrong with this guy, and we need to do something about that.
Right.
And where does the blame belong? It belongs right on that guy and his mother, the kindergarten teacher who was also killed, who apparently stored these semi-automatic weapons in
her... She had a collection.
Yeah, she had a collection. Isn't that nice?
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
She had a collection.
Yeah, this is a kindergarten teacher. Now, to me, that's frightening.
I had first thought that he had killed her in the school, because she was a teacher, but he killed her in the
location.
Home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then took the guns and...
But you know these...
Did he kill his dad, too?
No, his dad came home from work, and they interviewed him on the steps of his doorway.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't even know about it. He was just, you know, quite viscerally appalled.
I'm glad he was appalled, but he also had this semi-automatic weapon collection. I hope he's held accountable for it.
Well, it's just nuts. But, you know, going back to the...
Because if you want to blame... This is where the blame belongs. It was in his house that
making it available to a guy who wasn't even 21. You know,
but see, that's where you get into the debate between okay, it's not the guns who killed him; it's the person who did it.
I'm with Chris Rock. You know, like guns are widely available, easy to get. The bullets cost $5,000 a piece.
Okay.
works
for
I
me.
Think it's a
works
great
for
solution.
Me. That's a solution. Works for me.
Although one time I was up filming a TV pilot, and it was up in North Texas somewhere, and part of it took place on a gun range, and in this house where we were filming, he had this equipment where he manufactured his own bullets.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he had a stockpile of tens of thousands of them. And when I say tens of thousands, there was like a room filled with cartons of bullets.
Wow.
So I'm glad the bullets cost so much, but...
There's a way around it, just like
everything
else.
You can make them yourself.
Yeah.
You can make them yourself.
But, you know, the only other way I could think of that you would need a high-capacity clip or that kind of weaponry is like Reba McEntire in that movie Tremors.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
And what did she do with them?
What did she do?
If you haven't seen the movie, then you've missed it. Perhaps our listeners will relate. Okay. There's a huge creature crawling under the ground, and they're the stockpiled, paranoid, you know, end of times people that have every weapon imaginable, and Reba McEntire takes out totally on these creatures.
Well, I also think this discussion needs to focus a little, if not a lot, on the mental illness that we see with these individuals who do these things. You know, the guy who shut up the movie theater. Wasn't there earlier this week?
Earlier this week at the shopping mall.
So it's like, you know, when we recognize, when individuals recognize that there's something going on with an individual, they need to report it and try and get them help ASAP. You never know when someone who's already on the edge and then they snap and do something like this.
Bo from Bo and Major. Mm-hmm. I saw a post of his earlier today. He posted a long thing on Facebook. And he was saying, you know, I know this is not going to be what most of you think, but he said, I'm not necessarily for controlling guns, partially because he was saying what I was saying. I'm not sure how you even begin. How do you take those guns away from...
Exactly.
You know, how do you even find them? The ones who are going to comply are the law-abiding people who aren't crazy. It's the crazies who are going to start stockpiling and, oh, Obama's taken away our guns, you know, that kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. He wasn't saying we don't do anything, though. He was more worried about better mental health facilities and better mental health screening and better mental health availability,
access
for more people, which also makes sense because why would anybody do this?
Unless they're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
Well, there's so many people. I mean, we all have issues, but there are a lot of people out there who have deep festering
issues.
That come to the fore. But if you look at this recent rash of mass shootings, and you can't even say recent because it seems like they're ongoing.
Uh-huh.
You know, just when you think we're in the clear and there's not going to be another one for a long time, another one happens.
I saw a statistic in the last 30 years there have been 61 of these types of shootings. So, you know, some of them are like two people getting killed like earlier this week. The intention was more... some of them.
But we have like Sikh temples. We have an Amish school.
We're talking about a variety of things that were similar to this.
But what
60
I think,
in 30 years, so that's two a year.
So what I think I've noticed they have in common is that mental health services today are really available for those who are very wealthy and those who are poor, who are living in poverty, because they can easily commit you and put you away and say you're a danger to society, and they don't have any attorneys or family members to fight that process, and oftentimes people, that's what happens with people. But the people in the middle, who are middle-class people who don't have, I mean, you might get, you know, if you're, like, for example, rehab services, you might get 30 days in a lifetime on your policy, and that's it. You know, and that's for, like, substance abuse. But for actual mental health care, there's really little that's readily available to middle-class people who are come from working families with, you know, for very average health care policies.
And then there's the challenge to get the individual to even go seek mental health treatment. Because a lot of times
that's part
they
of
will
it.
Challenge you. I'm not going. There's nothing wrong with me.
But that's part of it. With better mental health screening, you catch it earlier. This 20-year-old, he didn't suddenly just snap. I mean, living in this house where they're collecting semi-automatic weapons, this wasn't something sudden. It wasn't something that he was such a nice next door. I don't buy that.
Yeah, so well, somebody all reports say that he was very quiet but odd.
Right.
So,
They did incorrectly initially say that it was his older brother.
Who posted on his Facebook page on his way home, it wasn't me. At work. So, it wasn't me.
Yeah, all news stations had to retract that. So,
So I got a whole new round of text alerts about it.
You know, I'm sorry that he got such bad publicity and all this, but didn't he notice anything about his brother? I don't give a pass to the whole family. I don't give a pass to a single one of them. People see these kinds of things going on. And you don't live in a house with semi-automatic weapons with somebody who's about to snap.
I'm totally guessing here. Of course, we don't know all the details. Probably won't know all the details.
We don't know any of the details, really.
For a time to come. But I wouldn't be surprised if we found out that this guy was probably on all kinds of antidepressant medication. He probably, his mom was a school teacher.
Who had a collection of semi-automatic weapons. I'm not giving her a pass on this.
Oh, you're saying she wasn't a school teacher?
She has no connection to the school that they know of.
I thought she was a kindergarten teacher there.
No, they
really?
Maybe she was a substitute teacher. Now they're reversing even more on that and saying that maybe at most she volunteered occasionally.
Huh. Okay.
Well,
that's really? That's completely.
Okay. I had not heard that at all.
Okay, I hadn't either. Thanks for the update.
I still don't give her a pass. I mean, no way in any way. Thank goodness she wasn't a kindergarten teacher at that school with a collection of semi-automatic weapons. That wasn't making sense to me.
Yeah.
How do you entrust a little four or five-year-old to somebody like that? You don't. But
you know, when you go back to the right-wingers talking about how this was, you know, we've removed God from the schools.
Right, you did.
It's not even...
You did.
Yeah, that's my fault.
I want to emphasize that they were blaming Huckabee and what's that creep from American Families?
Brian Fisher.
We're blaming specifically gays and lesbians for having done this.
And what's really scary is that Mike Huckabee, for those who don't remember, was a presidential candidate.
Yeah. Fox News commentator. I think he's learned a lot from Fox News. Say the most outrageous thing that you can. Appeal to the lowest common denominator.
Well, he's also known for saying, I no longer want to be a successful politician.
Right.
Well, the last time you had any success at it was when you were governor of Arkansas.
Right.
So I think you can give up that dream now.
Yeah, it wasn't that successful there.
But what I was going to say was that even theologically, from their perspective, it's insane because they believe in an omniscient, an omnipresent God who is not within the walls of that school. And he has to be invited in like a vampire. Mm-hmm. You know?
Love that, Patty. I totally agree.
Otherwise, he won't go in.
I mean, totally agree.
All of that is just so nuts, even from their own theological foundation.
If you really believe in God, isn't he everywhere?
Yeah, exactly. Or she.
Or she. At all times.
Right. You know? And suddenly, you know, you have to invite him in. Or it's not going
to
be
there. You have to invite him in like a vampire.
Well, I'm serious.
That's true.
It's what they're saying.
It is what they're saying. Yeah. I mean, that kind of blame or any sort of assumption that you know what God did is so anti-religion. it diminishes God to a point where it makes God into your little personal puppet, and it's disgusting and should be thought of as disgusting for anybody who in any way has any religious beliefs. I mean, these people don't have real religious beliefs. They use God for their own personal
profit. Well, and for a long time now, I've my simple request of those in the far right wing and those who tout their religion as something that needs to be implemented as political policy in this country need to begin every single sentence with "I believe," mm-hmm. because if they would just do that rather than declare that their belief in the way that they say it is the truth, you know, homosexuality is a sin. No, I believe that homosexuality is. That's what they need to say. They need. Mm-hmm. I believe that God was not present in that school. And they need to own it, mm-hmm. you know, because it's not a universal truth coming out of their mouths. It's what they believe, and they need to characterize it as such.
A Brian Fisher does believe that it is a universal truth.
Well, I know that.
Which is why the media needs to completely discount
But he's not alone. There are millions of right-wingers out there who will, you know, tell you to your face that you're going to hell because you're gay. Because rather than say, "I believe you're going to hell because you're gay," you know, to recognize that there are other beliefs out there. They don't do that. And I think that's a fundamental problem, with this country and the way our society has gone.
We're about to go to break.
Yes, we are about to go to break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to KNON 89.3 FM, the voice of the people in Dallas and Fort Worth, voted best radio station by the Dallas Observer.
Business owners, tell KNON's listeners about your business. You can put your business or event on KNON. KNON currently has space available to run announcements for you. Tell KNON's listeners about your goods, services, nightclub, concert, or event. Help keep the voice of the people on the air while putting your information on the air. KNON's been named the number one radio station in Dallas by both the Dallas Observer and D Magazine. Put your business with Dallas's number one station. Call now for more information at 214-828-9500, extension 227, or extension 233. For more information, go to KNON.org and click on the Run Spots on KNON page. It's a great way for your business to support community radio while letting more people know about you.
Don't be a Scrooge. Give the blues to the music lover on your list.
KNON has the perfect CD or LP for you. Texas Blues Radio, Volume 5.
Texas Blues Radio, Volume 5 features acoustic blues, instrumental blues, party songs, somebody done somebody wrong songs.
Baby Got a Good Thing songs, six-pack and devil-back songs.
Gumbo, jive, T-bone, and hip-shaking songs from a fine selection of great Texas blues artists.
So do right by the blues and give some Texas blues this year.
Texas Blues Radio, Volume 5 CD is available at KNON.org, Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, and in Dallas at Bill's Records and Rewind Music.
Download a copy at cdbaby.com.
The LP is only available at Forever Young Records.
All proceeds are a gift to KNON.
I'm Ranger Rita.
And I'm Action Annie.
And I'm Rockin' Robin.
And we're here to tell you that the Magic Time Warp Show has moved to Monday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. on KNON.
Tune in every Monday morning, 7 a.m. for the best 50s music you've ever heard.
Right here on KNON, the voice of the people.
This is Candy Markham, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Listen.
All righty, ESPN Radio has suspended. Not us, because we're not on ESPN Radio, but two of their radio hosts for some incredibly just outright crude and really offensive comments they were making about transgender people, specifically targeting a basketball player, a female transgender person. Her name is Gabrielle Ludwig. She plays for a school in California, Mission College. Now, you know, they were going on and on throughout the rant, calling her he, she, And at one point they said, I think it is the politically correct term. No, that's not the politically correct term. And it said, whatever you've got to do is scratch your inner and quell those inner demons, that's fine. But don't go out playing sports. I've got rights to everyone else.
Do you know why I think that kind of thing goes on and we hear this kind of story, from a broadcaster once a month? Because stations don't have real policies about that kind of thing. They've never discussed...
Or education.
Yeah.
Well, much less a policy. I mean, education, just to...
Well, and we're talking about either a sensitivity training, but I'm talking about just a simple policy. When you refer to somebody who's transgender, please refer to them by that person's preferred pronoun. Period. That's our policy. End of story. Well, I don't see where you need training in something like that. Well, I think they're just simply not even stating that policy.
I think they're not stating their policies, but even going further, they're not stating what the repercussions will be when you break those policies. And it's usually just a suspension, which these guys got suspended, but they'll be back on the air. They're probably already back on the air. They were suspended for 2 or 3 days. There needs to be some serious fines, either to be fired, some deductions from their salary, something to really scare them to not say stuff like this. You know, like Don Imus.
And
suspended for a couple of days.
And look at the difference between that and what happened to the two Australian broadcasters when they were just making fun of the damn Queen.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and people say yes because it's a suicide. Well, it turns out the suicide has to do more with that nurse's co-workers hounding her to death than it has to do with these two Australian broadcasters.
And those two Australian broadcasters, they were not suspended. They voluntarily took themselves off the air for a couple of days. They were not suspended. So, anyway, ESPN said they strongly believe the two of their employees crossed the line. And they won't tolerate such, you know, insensitivity, so they suspended them for 2 days. But I think more needs to be done. For only the second time in the 21 seasons of the show The Amazing Race, a gay couple has won. Viewers may have already been familiar with the couple Josh Kilmer-Perel and Brent Ridge, for they already have their own reality show called The Fabulous Beacon Boys. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
I have. It's been on for like 2 or 3 seasons, so I was surprised to see them on another reality show competing. Anyway, the couple beat out 7 other teams, including a couple from Texas. Now, I said this was the second. Do you guys remember?
Oh, yes.
First gay couple to ever win. Yep.
Riken.
Yep. Riken and his then-boyfriend, Chip Arndt. I take it you really like Riken.
Riken. Noxious.
Well, did you watch the season?
That season I did, but this season? I haven't watched it in years.
Well, I knew when they came up to the very end, and it was the last challenge before they run for the win, and it was basically an intellectual one. It was about language, the hellos and goodbyes that they had
In
each country in the order that they traveled them. And they all kind of arrived roughly the same time. And I knew then, if it wasn't going to be something physical, because these guys were not good, you know, not good at that. But all the way through, when they had an option to do something that required thinking versus something physical, they took it.
Right.
And, you know, that one, he cleaned up.
He cleaned up.
Yeah. Okay, so who was the other gay couple, famous gay couple, that has been on Amazing Race? From Dallas, as a hint.
Mel White.
That's
and
right.
His son.
That's right.
He did it with his son, not with Harry.
With his son.
That's right.
All right. Hip-hop artist Frank Ocean made news earlier this year when he came out and became, I guess, kind of like the first openly male out gay hip-hop artist. Now he's in the news again. He's been nominated for 6 Grammys. Who says that coming out hurts your career?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even heard of the guy until he came out. Now he's nominated for 6 Grammys, including the big ones, Album of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best New Artist of the Year. Some other gay nominees or gay performers that are for nominees are Best Spoken Word Album, that includes by Rachel Maddow, Ellen DeGeneres, and
Janice Ian.
Yeah.
Just saw her last week.
Just here? Yeah.
Now,
and who was not nominated for Best YouTube Video? I'm looking as I look at Doc.
Our very own Doc.
Very own Doc.
Who was not nominated? Sorry, Doc. You were not nominated. No.
So.
No. No. You're. Yeah. Well. We would have accepted any of that or any combination of that as a joint award. So what do we need to do to get nominated next year? Is there a category for best YouTube video?
Not yet.
I don't think Grammys.
Yeah, that will probably go to something like the Emmys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Patty has some entertainment news.
Right. The Golden Globes are coming up January 13th, and the nominations have been just announced. But one of the things that has been announced a couple of weeks ago, actually, but is back in the news because of these announced nominations, is that the 70th Golden Globes will award the annual Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award to Jodie Foster.
Oh.
This time. She's barely 50. She's a couple of months off from me. I've grown up watching her grow up. And she's going to be honored for her 47 years in the business.
That's right.
Yeah, she started.
At three.
Wasn't she the Coppertone baby?
She was the Coppertone baby.
Yeah.
So I
think it's a well-deserved award.
It is, and she says, I'm psyched to receive the Cecil B. DeMille Award at the Golden Globe ceremony this year. It'll be my 47th year in the film business, and I am just as in love with making movies as ever. What better film school than growing up on movie sets? What better way to celebrate my 50th birthday year than to be surrounded by my industry peers? This award is just a fantastic marker on the road to even more adventures in filmmaking. So this would be pretty good.
And I hope they show her tushy.
Her 3-year-old tushy?
Copper tone.
And
tushy.
We were just talking about Frank Ocean coming out earlier this year. Maybe she'll come out. Really come out in this acceptance speech.
I think she came out in 2007.
I don't think she came out.
I think she's been out since 1980-something.
She's out in Europe. She's completely out.
While we're talking entertainment, did you watch Stephen Colbert at all this week?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, okay. So Jim DeMint, of 100 senators, he's the Michelle Bachmann of the Senate.
He was they called him the kingmaker all the way through the election cycle.
Yeah.
That he could, you know, tap somebody and say he ought to win.
Right,
or she
and how many
win.
Of them won? Yeah, none.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jim
DeMint. Christine O'Donnell.
Yeah, Jim DeMint is leaving the Senate, I guess because he saw the writing on the wall that he wasn't as important as he
Because president
was.
Of the Heritage Foundation is so much better.
Well, he thinks so, yeah. So it pays a lot more.
I was going to say, he's going to be making a lot more.
So Stephen Colbert, who's from South Carolina, has been campaigning for it, and his campaign slogan is, I'm at least as crazy as Jim DeMint.
And in polling, he's leading. He's leading.
That's who people in South Carolina want named to the Senate.
Significantly more.
Stephen Colbert?
Yeah.
Stephen
Colbert.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He has like 50-some-odd percent of the... of the vote, basically. It's not a vote, but, you know, in polls.
Right.
Whereas the next closest person that the governor could possibly name has maybe 7 or 8%. You know, it's divided up.
Right.
You know, so the one who she names is probably going to have 2 or 3%. But Stephen Colbert, of polling, who do you want to be our next senator?
Because it's an appointment.
Yeah, for 2 years. Of polling...
He's leading.
56% have said, just, I want Stephen Colbert.
Did you hear about the post that Nikki Haley put on her Facebook page?
I did not.
He did this the other night. He was talking about how he'd asked his fan, you know, Colbert Nation, to tweet and Facebook and stuff. And so she acknowledges the tweets from him, and she says, you know, I appreciate the support from your fans and all of the tweets. But you'll have to remember, though, that you're not good on South Carolina trivia, and that was a big, big mistake. And so he explained it, and he rolled the tape of when she was on the show, and he didn't know what the South Carolina drink is, the official South Carolina, and it's milk.
No.
But he came back at her about the South Carolina, official South Carolina amphibian, and she couldn't get it. It was the spotted something.
Well... As evidence that he's more crazy than Jim DeMint, he said he'd take Jim DeMint's call for banning gay teachers one step further, and he would ban all teachers and their knowledge agenda from the classroom. So you have to appreciate that.
So everybody would have to homeschool.
He also said that his Comedy Central contract prevents him from taking another full-time job. And he said, so that makes the Senate perfect.
Touche. Touche.
Oh, you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. And a whole bunch of other news going on. Lots of marriage stuff this week. The Pope weighed in, of course. And
did he tweet?
He didn't tweet about it, but when he was lighting the Christmas tree, his Christmas message while lighting the tree was that abortion and gay marriage are threatening world peace. And he cited his childhood experience for that. Apparently, he's a little bit confused. This Pope did grow up in Nazi Germany. Gay people were put in concentration camps. He has that a little bit confused. So do other people who compare gay marriage to Nazi Germany. However,
how old
that
is the
puts
Pope
him
now?
In the category of that racist pig, Brian Fisher.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just.
And sorry for any, you know. And what's interesting about this is that polling Catholics come out as the top group supporting same-sex marriage. So this is not an anti-Catholic thing. This is against this particular Pope and some of the stupid crap that comes out of his mouth.
I'm just so shocked, actually. I never thought about it, but that the Holy See would light a Christmas tree, which is sort of a pagan. Mm-hmm. Has pagan origins.
I know, but it's does that really offend you that they do? Season. I mean, I think it's a nice tradition, though, don't you?
Well, it's a nice tradition, but it was, I mean,
it's surprising.
Basically, you know, Christianity expanded in, you know, in the Celtic world, mm-hmm. because they adopted the winter solstice, which was celebrated by the fir tree, in order to bring them around to Christianity.
I looked it up this morning. I was trying to find how long that tradition's been going on and whether it's something they adopted from Rockefeller Center or if it's, you know, 200 years...
Oh, you mean the Vatican?
Yeah, in the Vatican. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure a Celt didn't write it in their day book.
Yeah, no. No. But I couldn't find how long that tradition's been going on. Hmm. So, I don't know.
You know, we keep hearing more and more news why it might be a good idea to move to Iowa. You know, apparently they have a same-sex marriage or marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the University of Iowa in Iowa City has decided to include questions concerning LGBT identity in its admissions process. It becomes the first public university to do so. So when you fill out your admissions form, you can put whether you're gay or not. So that's kind of cool, but I don't know. And David and I were talking about this before the show. I'm going to assume it's a voluntary.
Oh, sure.
You know, like with race or whatever, but I don't know. What do you think? Should they put that on there?
I think it's odd.
I don't think it's odd at all. I think universities, particularly one that is incredibly supportive, would ask the question to be answered on a volunteer optional basis about how you self-identify, because I think it speaks directly to their services. You know, well, what student services might be available in organizations, on-campus support. You know, I think they'd like to know, well, hey, you know, 8% of our students are self-identify as LGBT. That's an important thing.
And that's kind of what the vice president said is the reasoning for adding it. She said it creates resources and fosters a welcoming spirit within the student body about our LGBTQ students. So
I'm sure it's not there for any reason other than to provide services. I'm not accusing them of anything. And it doesn't bother me having it asked, especially in a supplemental, okay, now that you're coming to our campus in the fall, here's some additional demographic information we'd like, some other information we'd like about what services you think you might need or would like to see the university provide. I just think in the initial application, it's kind of some kids who are, you know, 17 applying for admission with their parents sitting there helping them with applications.
I thought about that, too. When I was 17, I most definitely would not have checked it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, at 40, of course I would. But
40?
Yeah.
When did you become 40?
I just turned 40.
You're still 28.
Year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm 28. Thank you, Patty.
Yeah.
I forgot. I'm having some dementia. But, yeah.
So he passed me this year.
But here in 2012, if I were 17 at 2012, maybe I would. It's a little different now. I don't know.
No, if it's completely optional, you just, yeah. You know, kids who don't want to. But when they, you know, if they're applying to the school and they get accepted and they are LGBT, I think in some level they're registering in their minds that this is a great thing to have included it.
Well, and here's where I think this is going. If this becomes common and they are trying to get all 400 other public schools to add this on their admissions forms, also just make this a standard. When is this going to be added on work applications? And do you think it should be on there?
No.
No, certainly not. If it's we get our ENDA and it's in the EEO, I don't think it should be.
Okay.
I don't think it should be asked.
Okay, what if we get our ENDA? Do you think it should be on there?
No.
I don't know. I'm mixed on it because
for the same reason you don't ask race on an employment application.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. It's volunteer. Hmm. But it's on there.
Hmm. 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 I guess I'm, you know, and it's funny because my background, going back to the school, my background is going to a very liberal school that my being gay was never an issue there. I my freshman year, I had a straight roommate. It just wasn't a problem. And it never occurred to me that it should have been a problem. It never occurred to my conservative upstate, had never met anybody Jewish before, roommate, that any of that should have been a problem. He didn't go to this school for those things to be a problem. So it's one of those things that when I say I'm kind of uncomfortable with it, I think one of the nice things about a public university is that you get just a whole mix of people you randomly meet. Hopefully roommates get along. Those who don't, hopefully there's a way to solve that. But I don't remember a whole big problem with people not getting along and having to change rooms, even though it was a mix of people. So.
Well, I'm okay with it as long as it's voluntary.
Hey, quick breaking news. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has suffered a concussion after fainting.
Oh, no.
This is just now from Politico. She's recovering at home. She's canceled a Monday trip overseas because of illness. So we hope she's well.
Yeah. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I am Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with LaRon Landis and the late Patty Fink, and we'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas, the voice of the people, voted best radio station for music 2 years in a row by the Dallas Observer.
If you are the low-income parent or guardian of children in need of child care, there are programs available in the area that may be just right for you and your kids. Texas Workforce Commission offers solutions for families in need of assistance. Find them on the web at twc.state.tx.us. Click on Programs and Services in the blue bar at the bottom of the page to find out if you are eligible. 211 Texas, a program of the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, also offers child care provider referrals for families seeking subsidized child care. Contact them at 211texas.org or dial 211. If dialing 211 directly doesn't work on your telephone, you can call 877-541-7905.
If you enjoy listening to KNON, why not join us as part of the KNON Community Advisory Board? This is a great opportunity to offer your voice to the voice of the people. Our Community Advisory Board provides comments and suggestions to KNON's Board of Directors about KNON programming decisions, community service, and policies.
The role of the Community Advisory Board is solely advisory. This board meets 4 times a year on the second Tuesday of January, April, July, and October. The next meeting is January 8th, 2013 at KNON. Meetings are open to the public. If you're interested, please go to KNON.org and scroll down through our events or call 214-237-3003 for more information. Deadline for applications is Monday, December 17th.
This is a random person, and I don't listen to Lambda Weekend on 89.3 KNON FM Dallas.
And you're listening to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Patty Fink and LaRon Landis. And which one of you just said something about Saba? Patty.
Me.
Yeah. Patty did.
Yeah, the island of Saba in the Caribbean has now we have full marriage equality there, and now, their popularity has soared.
Now, for those of you who don't know, that's a big deal, not just because it's another place legalizing marriage equality, but because of where it is.
Right, the Caribbean's had a lot of trouble.
Extremely homophobic. Mm-hmm. You know.
For LGBT people, not even about marriage, just visiting the island.
Well,
the
island existing.
On their island.
On their island.
The islands of Aruba, Bonaire, St. Eustache, those have been given a certain amount of time. They're Dutch islands, and they've been given a certain amount of time by the Netherlands to fix their laws. You know, it was kind of a, yeah, you have 10 years, now get used to it. This is the way it is. A couple of their islands that have looser connections, Curaçao and St. Martin, only have to recognize marriages performed elsewhere. They don't have to perform them themselves, which is an interesting way to give them some freedom while insisting on equality.
Well, I think they've recently restructured the Netherlands, their Caribbean holdings in terms of entire islands, and they've kind of really restructured that so that there is a level of independence among some of the islands, and that's why I think they're just pointing it out that legally they don't have to, you know, that it's just a legality thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Aruba is one of the islands that doesn't have to have marriage equality.
I mean, I think
they have to recognize.
I mean, I think the only place you could be worst for a gay person for you to be in besides the Caribbean islands is Uganda.
Or Iran, or...
or, yeah, maybe Iran. Well, in Iran,
through most of Africa.
Oh, they're killing gay people all the time.
Yeah, through most of Africa, through some of the Middle Eastern countries. But yes, of islands, countries that are generally thought of as pretty free, places that you go cruising to.
Right.
Most of the Caribbean islands are pretty awful places for gay people to even visit. So.
Although, you know, I've traveled the Caribbean quite widely, and I've been out and with my partner, you know, and we were treated with nothing but, you know, kindness. And
I've been to a number of them, too, and I find that the British islands are pretty crappy, that the... Dutch islands tend to be nicer and friendlier and more welcoming, that the French islands are somewhere in between, and you know, it just depends on which one. So
it does.
Of course, there's been in the news a lot lately, Proposition 8, and DOMA has been taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court. What really makes this interesting is because of one of the judges, Judge Scalia. He has never been shy about how he feels about gays and lesbians. Not just from, a legal point of view in his mind. He thinks, you know, it doesn't say it in the Constitution, so he thinks it's not protected.
But to him also, it's a moral thing.
It's a moral thing.
He thinks
thing.
That if morally we can be against murder, then morally we can be against homosexuality. And if you can't have a moral position on one, you can't have a moral position on the other.
I mean, he has said some of the most heinous things about us publicly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So this week there's a call...
Yeah, in print. I mean,
this week there's a call for him to recuse himself.
That's where I was going. I mean, I don't know how that works in the Supreme Court.
It works this way: a judge says, "I have predetermined, I've been involved in that case previously. I can't rule on it." He's already made his decision on this case.
Pretty
He's
much.
Not going to hear it.
But there's no structure in the Supreme Court of the United States
to force him.
Right. I think that there may be, if there's pressure from the other justices for him to recuse himself, then they can exercise that privately, but they can't make him.
There's nothing we could do.
Right. And I don't think there's anything that Chief Justice Roberts could do.
Well, now, he could put some pressure on him.
Oh, he can definitely put some pressure on him. I'm not saying he can't write an order and sign it and say, therefore, you are not going to hear this case. He can't do that.
Now, what's the judge, the first Latina judge?
Sotomayor.
Sotomayor. She has recused herself from the DOMA case.
Has she really?
Yes, because when she's already been involved in that before it even got to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and Elaine Kagan, when she first took the bench, She recused herself from several cases because she had been the Solicitor General for the United States.
Well, and she was going to have to recuse herself from one of the DOMA cases, not the one that they took.
But, right.
Here's the thing about a judge. Tina Yu was on. She's a local judge. Mm-hmm. She was on about a month ago. Before the show, she was here, and she gave us a list. I can't talk about this, can't talk about can't talk. You know, I could have to rule on this. I just can't talk about those things. It wasn't that she can't even give an opinion on them. She can't
just don't even
go there. We talked about what she could talk about. We had a lovely discussion.
It was great.
For a whole hour, but we had a whole list of things. Please don't put me in this position where I can't, where you're making me talk. You know, I can't talk. And it worked. The hour worked. We had a wonderful discussion, but there was a whole list of things. Why can't this? I've been using this word a lot. Why can't this piece of crap who's on the Supreme Court keep his fat mouth shut on certain things so that at least he gives the air of, I'm going to listen to that case. We're not expecting him to rule in our favor, but I do expect him, as a minimum, to give it a fair hearing.
Exactly. Right. Judges are supposed to give a fair and partial hearing to every single case. And clearly, he's not going to do that. I mean, again, we're not expecting him to rule in our favor, but he's not even going to hear. He literally won't even hear the arguments.
But in his dissent in Lawrence v. Texas in 2003, which is the case that made unconstitutional 2106 in the Texas Penal Code and all anti-sodomy laws around the country.
Right.
He said that the ruling in that case would open the door for same-sex marriage at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. And so for him to cite any other cases in ruling against same-sex marriage in the coming, cycle, mm-hmm. In hearing these two cases, that he would kind of contradict himself.
I think he went beyond that, though. He wasn't citing previous case law. He was talking about his own personal prejudices and talking about how, and equating being gay to murder. I mean, he specifically did that. And in equating the two, he's really saying, I have such a blind spot for this, I can't even hear that case. And because he has that kind of a blind spot, and because he won't keep his fat mouth shut on this issue before hearing the case, any judge with any responsibility toward what they do and any respect for themselves in their own position should recuse themselves. He absolutely needs to recuse himself.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. I absolutely agree. And, I don't have the timeline here of everything he said and the exact quotes. But when this happened at Princeton, when he was out hawking his new book, mm-hmm. and a gay student stood up and asked him, was it necessary to compare gay people with things like bestiality and murder?
Yeah.
And he says, well, I don't think it's necessary, but I think it's effective. But at one point he talked about, if the society's morals. Well, hello, in the case with really the New York case in particular, the state of New York, the society of New York has determined that same-sex marriage is what their will is. And so it's not immoral to the people of mm-hmm. New York.
Right.
And so, and through the legislature, through the people, everybody. And so
and
how
he,
is,
and he's
how is
so
this,
big on states' rights.
Oh, sure. And he's talking about this, reducing it to the absurd. It would be absurd to say then that the people of New York find it immoral while they find it moral. Right. I mean, that would be absurd.
Right.
People who are for such strong supporters of states' rights are only for states' rights when it comes to their issues that they haven't won on the federal level. Once they haven't won it on the federal level, then they go back to states' rights, assuming that, well, in my small-minded state, I can at least keep it out of here. They don't believe in states' rights.
It's evident on the healthcare reform. I mean, this is just insane, all of these states rejecting, building their own healthcare exchanges, mm-hmm. because it was the one concession that in Obamacare, when it was passed, that the states had wanted, and so they put it in there. And now they're out of hand rejecting it because they don't like the black man in the White House.
Right.
And so, and when I read that Perry had rejected it, I was just almost relieved. Oh, I deal in this stuff all the time, you know. I do right. healthcare, but I was almost relieved because I thought at least the federal government. It'll be in their hands to handle Texas's healthcare exchange so that Perry can't screw it up and by so
and
doing...
And to prove that it doesn't work.
Right. But he can't screw governors, Texans, though yeah. out of their healthcare.
There have been one or two governors, though, recently, coming up to the deadline, who said, I'm not ruling it out for good. I'd rather the federal government set it up. We might be able to run it in the future. And I think they were genuinely concerned that they weren't going to do it right. Now, those were Republican governors, and I'm going to take them at their word for that, that they actually tried. They said they didn't get the answers from the Department of, I guess it was HHS.
Health, yeah.
That they just didn't get the answers that they needed, and they said, so we're going to let the federal government do it. We're going to monitor it. If they'll let us, we'll work with them on it some, but... we'll let the federal government do it and then maybe take it over in the future. I think that's fair.
I think it's fair. I just think it's the irony and the blind, you know, idolatry. Mm-hmm. Idolatry and ideology. Mm-hmm. So it's really actually what I meant to say, but idolatry fits. That, you know, that they don't even... that it's rejected out of hand because it's federal. When they ask for it, they're relinquishing right. state control of their own program. Which seems to go against everything they seem to say out of the rest of the sides of their mouths. You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I digress from Scalia.
Okay, so states' rights and states have the right to legalize. What do you think the next state to legalize same-sex marriage is going to be?
Illinois.
I was about to say Illinois.
Yeah. Illinois said two lawmakers have already filed the bill. They said there's going to be a vote in January. The governor has said he'll sign it. I think the governor of Illinois is seeing how popular Governor Gregoire is in Washington, how popular Andrew Cuomo is in New York. They're talking about him as a presidential candidate. O'Malley's another one.
In Maryland.
Who has gotten national attention and recognition for his leadership on the issue. I think it's going to be right after the election, though. They were talking about it being Indiana. Now, Indiana's going to have to take a vote because they'll have to repeal an amendment. And 55% in a recent poll said that they do want it repealed.
Yeah. Or it could be Rhode Island. Rhode Island might actually beat
a little. I don't think they're going to be next.
I think they like their neutrality. They have nothing. Their constitution and their legal, their penal code, legal book is silent mm-hmm. on same-sex marriage.
They already recognize same-sex marriage.
Because they are silent.
Right. And they also have civil unions, and it's a law that everybody hates. Of course, the right wing hates it because it recognized gay couples. Gay couples hate it because I can drive 20 miles, but why should I have to?
Really, in any direction.
Really, yeah.
I think it's like 25 miles is the furthest you can be from another state in Rhode Island. I'd say it's going to be Illinois. I think next year there are going to be more ballot initiatives to repeal.
That's what I want to see. Because I was hoping, when is the southern state going to jump on board? Right. But we'd have to repeal, because all southern states have a DOMA in effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we have a super DOMA.
Well, and Nate Silver, guru that he is, has predicted marriage equality in the state of Texas in 2018. And I think that's very, very possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One quick thing, the Dallas Morning News, the infamous Dallas Morning News.
Do you believe this?
This morning has endorsed full marriage equality for LGBT people.
And endorsed the mayor not endorsing full marriage equality. Gets confusing. But they support the mayor for, that was in a separate piece. But they endorsed the mayor not signing the marriage pledge. For whatever reason, but they've come out for same-sex marriage. Yeah, what are they thinking? Just because one of their top three people is gay and has been for the last 20 years. We won't mention any names. We won't appear on the show. Dallas Morning News. What reasons did they give?
Well, one, in their laying out the groundwork for their defense, mm-hmm. they point out that Dick Cheney and Ted Olson also support marriage, full marriage equality.
Good. If they have to use the Dick Cheney defense.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. But they do say, in 2004, this newspaper opposed a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. We have backed efforts to outlaw discrimination against employees based on sexual orientation. Now we believe that the Supreme Court should conclude that equality under the law includes the right of gay couples to wed. So that's the Dallas Morning News.
Morning News. And that is it for us here on Lambda Weekly. We'll see you next week.